Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 802, You're Safe Driving Off a Cliff, recorded on October 25th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your co-host, Duststorm.
I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And we are without Haas for this episode because Haas is going into a new workout regimen, which now kind of takes up some of his time. And we're doing this off a Thursday because, well, one, there's some cool new Halo Infinite campaign footage that everyone's been clamoring for.
Yeah, they dropped it on a Tuesday.
Monday. Today's Monday.
I had to set my alarm this morning, and it's my day off.
Right? I nearly forgot it was happening, and then I'm like, 9:02. Oh, that's right. Let me go on. And then when I started up the YouTube stream, it was 2 seconds, 1 second going. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a couple of minutes late. I honestly thought about streaming it on the Podtacular channel, but nobody wants to see me that early in the morning.
That's all right. Yeah, we had a drop of campaign. It was a campaign overview. It wasn't necessarily a specific part of campaign, but definitely gave us an overview of all the different types of things that we can expect in campaign. Thankfully, it didn't really seem very spoilery. Did introduce a couple new enemies, maybe enemy factions. It's kind of hard to tell just with what we saw in the video.
It did show off one new enemy. Well, actually, it showed off a couple of new enemies.
Right.
But that's about all it did. It still left more questions than answers. Mm-hmm. It left you going, I wonder how they're going to do that one. But anyway. No, I was totally blown away with it. I really wish I had fired up my actual computer and watched it instead of looking at it on a 10-inch tablet.
Right. I watched it on my phone. But watched it in full 4K once I actually was able to get home in front of my 4K monitor and watch it.
Yeah. Well, I watched it gorgeous. In lonely 1080p, so... And it looked good. I mean, it's amazing... How much difference in just the scenes that they've already released have changed? Like the shots with Brohammer in the Pelican.
Yeah.
Chief in the Pelican.
Yep.
The Brutes. It's really amazing.
Drop down from the E3 demo last year.
Craig.
Yeah. Craig.
Or Craig has fur.
People are calling him Chad now. But yes, Craig made an appearance.
And they did something really, really cool.
They did a lot of cool things.
Well, no, this is a little above and beyond. At the point where you come up to fight Craig in the original, they hint to going up against old enemies, which, you know, well, I should say some you know, some you don't. So that was kind of a neat little... homage to Craig, at least, if they intended it that way. That's the way entendre. I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was...
They hit every beat with this campaign demo.
They did.
I was getting to the point where I really didn't, like... Everyone was clamoring for campaign footage, but at this point, it's like, leave the story a mystery. Like,
no, they did that perfectly. They gave us campaign footage, but they didn't tell us anything. Well, about the story.
They only told us surface level things. They didn't really tell us a lot of depth. Yeah.
Well, they told us what we already knew. We're going to Zeta Halo. We're going to fight Banished.
I mean, and the Harbinger.
Get me wrong. There are some small things in there, but
surface level things.
It wasn't a huge dump of storyline.
They played it well. They played it really well.
And I think I know why. Halo 5.
Learning from past mistakes.
I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm thinking they learned that it's best to not push the story in your promotions, because what you intend it to represent and what the community gets out of it can be two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So they went more to a more traditional type of advertising, showing off the game, but not really telling you anything about it, about the story.
Yeah.
They showed a lot of gameplay mechanics, which is great. So you get an idea how you're going to play the game. You know, I like how they always, you know, they start with cheap jumping out of the Pelican. Why do you always have to jump?
There are so many nods in this video.
I know.
So many. Like the tank one.
Uh-huh.
Like when you walk up and Cortana's like, I wonder if you'll the like weapon. This. And it's like, or yeah, sorry, the weapon. And Chief's like, oh, I will.
Well, if you like explosions, I do.
Yes. Yep.
But and yeah.
Then the battlefield moment where he jumps out of a Banshee, destroys another one, grapple shots onto another one, and jacks it in midair. Classic battlefield moment there.
Yeah, you'll have to vouch for that one, because I don't play that game.
Jackal snipers.
Oh, God. And they look wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I mean, even Eshram at the very end.
Oh, that little sneak in? Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was nasty before. Now he.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take a pill to sleep tonight.
So much has changed for the better.
Oh, yes. It was definitely worth the wait. And I like at the very beginning, you have kind of the homage to the original Cortana from Halo CE in her traditional purple color.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when you see her again, she's back in that purple color. And yeah. I have to admit, I like the changes they've made to the Cortana model. I never really liked the Halo 5 Cortana model. I mean, I understand that they had to make some changes because of things, you know, the way the audience they wanted to present the game to.
Yep.
But it paid a respect to the previous Cortanas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the full suit that she was wearing in Halo 5, it really made you think it was a different character.
Yeah. And I think that, like you were saying, it kind of was driven to be that way.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the deal is, you know, in this one, and don't get me wrong, it's nowhere near the 1, 2, 3, and 4 Cortanas as far as detail, as far as body shape. But they did a nice blend with a safe model and paying homage to the earlier Cortanas.
Yeah.
And
that original purple.
That the motion capture in this stuff is awesome. It's so smooth.
Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
I mean, you know, anytime you see, you know, an animated sequence, it looks so good, and it's in engine. You know, it's baked into the game. It's not something, you know, it's not a blur cutscene, which, don't get me wrong, I loved them. Blur cutscenes are the best.
Yeah.
But I like to see that we're getting that high quality cutscene type moment in engine.
In game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in game. Yeah. They're not just playing a video.
Yes. In engine. That's what I meant.
Yeah. You know, they're not just playing a video like they were before. And I hope it brings back the dynamic cutscenes, where you have different dialogue on different difficulties. I hope.
That would be great. Given all the throwbacks they're making already, I'd be a little surprised if they didn't do that.
I think you'd be pretty safe to say that it's it's a nice wish, but I don't know that it's going to happen because it's a lot of extra expense to do that.
It's not too much. I mean, you're recording extra lines and you're coding a couple extra things, but I mean, it's
like I said, there's extra expense there.
Sure.
And with as pressed for time as they were with Infinite, to the point where they had to delay it another year, I can see that would be something that could wind up on the cutting room floor.
Possibly.
Like I said, if it's there, I'm happy.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, I hope it's there. I'm just not holding my breath for it.
Sure. So some other notable things. Did you pick up on the Guardian?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I guess,
I got it when I actually was able to watch it on my regular computer and not the 10-inch tablet.
Right, right.
When you go from 10 inches to 27 inches,
you see a
lot more detail.
Yeah, you get a lot more out of that.
I'll be interested to see the story behind the Guardian.
Yeah.
I really want... Oh, God. They kind of hinted at how you start off. You start off retrieving the weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Seems kind of one of the first things that happen.
You kind of got to explain why there's a gaping hole in the halo.
We'll probably pick that up along the way.
Well, at least I was kind of hoping they kind of fill in the gaps at the beginning.
They might.
By the way, new book so far. Great read. Dust is way behind. And he needs to catch up.
I'm reading a book this weekend because I'll have plenty of time to do that. Which is why we're doing this on the Monday and not a Thursday, because I won't be here Thursday. You remember the first kind of indoor room in the video? I think it was
one. Yeah, the one with the big red shoot looking thing.
I got huge Halo 2 vibes whenever you're like in the underwater part, that room where you could kind of, there was the Jackal Sniper.
Yeah. I can see that.
I just picked up a lot of Halo 2 nods in this.
There's nods to multiple Halos in there.
There are, but it just seemed a lot of, I don't know, it seemed a lot of heavy nods to Halo 2.
Yeah.
At least that's just.
But the one thing I noticed, did you happen to notice the Hunter?
I mean, I saw the Hunter. Was there?
What color was the Hunter?
Wasn't it blue?
Uh-huh. What color are the Banished Hunters?
Oh.
Oh. At least the ones they've got in multiplayer for Halo Wars 2.
You're right.
So I'm wondering if there's not a Covenant faction there too. Or some other offshoot.
Or it could just be Banished Hunters in there. They just have the old
armor. It could be.
Because we see grunts with the mix of armor throughout all the Halos as well.
True, but good you would point. Think the way they customize all their heavy weapons, I think they customize the Hunter. They're pretty heavy.
I mean, we saw like Halo 3 grunts in the demo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense to see a Halo 3
Hunter. You know, it's just the whole motif with all of the Banished heavy weapons, the Ghosts, the Banshees, the Phantoms, the Wraiths. You know, they have a very distinct look to them that's not Covenant.
It's a good point.
Just recycled Covenant content. So yeah. I don't know if I'm reading anything into this or not, but I kind of wonder.
Yeah, I hadn't honestly thought of that. I mean, to me, when I just watched it, it was like, okay, it's a Hunter.
Yeah.
But.
And I mean, possibly. That suspicion kind of comes from the latest book.
Oh.
So, for those of you that have read the latest book, you know what I'm talking about. And we'll just let that float over dust.
Thanks head. For the subtle jab there.
Anyway, yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm kind of scrubbing through it. And, yeah, me too. You know, there's also the White Grunt, the Ultra.
Uh-huh.
The white Ultra Grunt armor in there too.
Pretty much almost all the different kinds of grunts.
Mm-hmm.
You got the sniper jackals. You got the jackals with shields. You got Spartan Hunter elites now. You got a new elite character.
About one. Right. And that guy, he's about as creepy as Ashram.
Yeah. The part where Chief picks up the, or frees the Marines, gets him in the Warthog, and then drives off a cliff.
Yeah. Is it me, or in the demo, did the Warthog look a lot less floaty? I mean, it didn't seem like it was bouncing around as much as it was in the preview, the multiplayer preview.
It still seemed pretty bouncy.
Yeah, I don't know. The reason me is when he drove off the cliff, all of a sudden it self-corrected its fall.
So I think that's just, I don't think that was self-correcting. I think that's.
No, that was self-corrected. Or, well, the Warthog corrected its fall because it was tumbling forward and then all of a sudden it flattened out.
No, but in the multiplayer preview, if you if you're on fragmentation, if you drove off the base or something, you can angle the hog like pretty heavily. So that probably wasn't self-correction. That's probably the player actually pulling back on the stick.
Well, I mean, okay, the player corrected the fall.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem, it didn't look as bouncy as it was in the tech preview. So,
oh, to me, it looked pretty similar.
Yeah.
But, it's nice to see we actually have Marines to fight with, and it's not just, not just you and the pilot against the entire army. So at least having some UNSC forces, some objectives to free them, all the banished outposts, and looks like there's going to be lots of those objectives. And how big is this play space? Because it looks
It's big enough that they're integrating fast travel points.
Yeah. Fast
some of the side objectives depots. Is to retake bases. And of course, you fortify them, and then you can fast travel to these bases for equipment, vehicles, weapons.
Yeah. Brain fart. I wonder if at any point you could lose those. Like,
I don't know.
Advantage could take them back over. Like, I know that's not a typical game mechanic, but it'd be an interesting
dynamic. not for a first-person shooter, no.
Right.
But for, like, an RTS, definitely.
It's very common, yeah.
It kind of all depends on how far into that realm they're taking Infinite.
Yeah.
With the upgrade path and the open-ish world that they're developing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be something that they could implement, but I don't know if it's something they will implement.
Right. Just an interesting concept. That's all.
Mm-hmm. It looks like you're going to have any number of ways to actually play the game you want.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, whether you attack a base on foot, be the air, ground, with a tank, with a Banshee, with a Wasp. So
there's going to be lots of, I think there's going to be months of speedrunners trying to figure out what the optimal path is going to be, the optimal run for this campaign is going to be, because there's a lot of toys in the sandbox to play with, as far as maybe like which forward operating bases are the ones to get. How many do you need to get to unlock certain things and upgrades and whatnot? And then it looks like all the equipment is upgradable in campaign to some degree.
Yes.
Like you see Chief going around with a grapple shot that has like a charge on it. And then
the taser thrust, shot.
Right. And then the thrust away, like you thrust into camouflage.
Yeah. And it looks like from what they showed, there's five levels? That they showed
for
that
thruster. Yeah. For the thruster, it was a 5-tier thing. It was base. And then, I think the first one was like reduced cooldown. The second one was increased range.
Mm-hmm.
The third another one was, added thrust to it. So you could thrust twice in a row. And then the last one was add that camo effect on it. So yeah, all of these equipments are upgradable, and you pointed this out, beforehand, but you saw Chief wielding four pieces of equipment and three
grenades? Four pieces of equipment at a time, and I don't know if I saw, I don't remember seeing four grenades, but I know I saw three grenades at a time.
Yeah.
Three grenade types.
Right.
Refresh that. So that's interesting. So that goes back kind of more towards the Halo 3-ish era where you could carry four types.
Right.
So, and then of course you can cycle through them, but this is going to be interesting.
It is going to be very interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Like you were saying, that controller's getting a little cramped.
Yeah, it is. They've added at least one more button that you have to mash.
Yep.
I really, really hope, and I don't know that they will do this, that the on the Elite controllers,
mm-hmm.
that they provide a firmware update to where it makes the paddles a separate mappable button. You know, not just mapping like B or A or X or Y yeah. to it, but its own button.
But the games would have to implement that button then.
No.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. They could have it as an option.
But they still have to implement in the
game. No, games don't have to change.
I'm not following then.
Well, let me rephrase this. For like PC.
Mm-hmm.
More and more games are already allowing you to remap buttons on your controllers.
Right.
With Halo Infinite, they've taken that to the next level. Like I said, with that little bit of an update, it would be so much nicer. I mean, not every game would have to go back and update their update it to where it recognizes those buttons. I see what you're saying, Dust. Sorry, brain fart.
Anyway, no worries.
But like for a PC title, it's already baked in there. They just have to add the information.
Well, PC, you're like, there's only a certain set of keys based on the keyboard that it's expecting input. So if you add an additional key that it doesn't know how to interpret, then it's not going to work. So that's what I mean. It's just you have to add those buttons.
Well, in. I mean, like for PC, you could just turn it into, I don't know, IKOP. I don't know. you can use just about any key on a keyboard for a game.
Yeah.
But, for a but PC
that key,
game.
That key is known to the OS, and then the OS can provide right. it to the game. Right.
Right.
So there would be additional, you'd have to support that additional button as a separate button.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is that they've provided an update to the controller to where the controller could, the PC would see those buttons as keyboard buttons. Then PC games wouldn't have to do really anything other than to see the controller. Well, I guess they would have to see the controller as like a keyboard input then. Never mind.
Yeah, and that would kind of mess it up. Yeah. I see what you're going for, but they'd basically have to implement into the controller.
Back to the trailer. it's been 6 months. Where have you been?
Yeah. So our little weapon friend has a lot of interesting, thought-provoking questions.
Why? Why?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, they've done a really good job with her. You see how young she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's that inquisitive 2-year-old. Why? Why? No.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
And the way Jen does her voice, oh my God. I swear every time the weapon opens her mouth, the first thing that pops in my head is blonde. Your typical stereotypical blonde. And I'm sorry if you're blonde out there. I totally understand. I used to be blonde and then I grew up.
Came a little darker.
Yeah.
A little salt and pepper now.
Shush. I don't need you pointing it out either. Mr. Peach Fuzz.
And whatever. The question's about how long it was when the one brute was coming down the elevator. It's like, is it a friend? That it could be a friend. And Chief's like, no, like, it's not a friend. And then why, like, asking a question, she was created to contain Cortana or destroy Cortana or whatever. What did she do that was so bad?
Uh-huh.
So all of these questions that kind of, like, a brand new perspective into the world that has no experience of what's happened in the prior Covenant War, like everything that's happened basically before she was created. And it's just a whole whole new thing of like, okay, having to teach this AI like what I know, but at the same time maybe stop to give some thought of what it is we're actually doing.
Yeah, it's the interaction with the weapon is just, it's actually kind of refreshing. Here you have Chief taking on kind of a father figure-ish type persona.
Bit.
You know, not your typical, but you know, your mentally dysfunctional father, I guess.
Socially awkward.
Socially awkward. But yeah, it's just, I like the interactions that they've shown so far. They show how, you know, currently how naive she is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like I said earlier, shows how young she really is.
Yeah. Is everyone trying to kill you? It really seems like
it. Seems like it.
That was a perfect way to end that.
Oh, yeah. It really seems like it.
Yeah. Really seems like it. It's so great. They hit every single note that they could have possibly hit.
They're bringing a little bit more fun back into the dialogues in Halo 5. Yeah. I mean, you had the chatter between the different, Spartans, you know, your Spartan squad, and in the dialogue, but it wasn't quite the same. But don't get me wrong. They had some funny moments, but there was still, it was a very serious game.
Yeah. A very different tone, very different presentation for Halo 4. I mean, they had some of its like quip funny moments, but compared to the Bungie games, very serious.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it was a nice change, but I kind of missed the funny lines.
Yeah. Like, let the impactful moments be impactful and sprinkle funny in everywhere else. And there's almost a sense of like humanity with it, because I'm thinking of basically the scene in Halo 3 where Chief goes and finds Cortana. It's a very emotional, very deep moment. But then there's that splash of humor at the very end where it's a callback where she says, there's two of us in here now, remember? It's like, it's just that very human connection of like, okay, what do people do when they're like trying to like overcome like difficulty or something? They kind of throw a joke in there. They try to lighten it up a little bit.
Well, I mean, right before that, you got a plan for getting out. I tried shooting my way out.
Right.
You know, it's the dry humor that it went on hiatus for a little bit. It wasn't as prevalent, and it's good to see that again.
I mean, Grant, I love the end of Halo 4. Halo 4 wrecked me, and it was great.
Oh, yeah.
But having some of that brevity in here is going to be nice. What else in here? The TAC map. We got a updated view of what that has to offer and all the new little discoverable things that we have. So there's the forward operating bases. It looks like we have the whatever the upgrade things are called. Looks like the skull things are probably Easter egg type things. There's a few icons in there I'm not very sure about. I'm guessing there's like there's one with the rings and kind of like a edge of a cliff or something. So maybe that's portals, like the rings that we're kind of seeing scattered about the Halo. That maybe has something to do with that.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be a lot of collectibles to pick up in each area.
Places.
Yeah. Well, they actually call it area collectibles.
Right.
So, let's see.
One icon looks like kind of that tower. Like,
yeah, it's like, looks like you got five banish towers or 12 data pads, two skulls.
I'm guessing the left icon is probably some kind of weapon cache or ammo cache of some kind. So yeah, not, we don't know what all of those icons mean just yet, but we can kind of take a guess.
I just want to push RB so I can see the rest of it. Oh,
right.
I'm watching it. I'm looking at it in full screen. So I'm like, RB. No,
yeah,
it doesn't work. Yeah. Of course it shows your current position on the map. So you have a reference. It gives you a good look at the terrain around you.
Yeah. That interface almost has come a long way. Kind of looks like a,
oh yeah. You start looking at the hexagon columns, starts to look like a Minecraft map.
A little bit. The upgrades are called Spartan cores. That's what those are. Yeah, and there's also targets and database. So I don't know if targets is kind of a live update of based on mission objectives. Database could be either very shallow or very detailed, so it's kind of hard to know with that. What else is in here?
Well, like I said, they got a basically, you know, they show a salvage operation that you can go, you can tag and go destroy.
Yep. I'm just watching through this again. It's like the environment is so pretty. And the work they've done with the shadows, the different time of day throughout this whole play space, and just how big it is. Like, I seriously wonder how far we can go. I mean, obviously, we're kind of, I think, contained for the most part to this destroyed part of the ring and the rest of it that's connected, but probably don't have access to for probably at least this first part of the campaign. But
yeah,
that's kind of beg the question, how much play space is there actually?
Oh, found another shot. 4 grenades.
Oh, you okay.
Yeah, if you watch as he's turning the handles, there's 4 slots for grenades.
Okay. So 4 equipment and 4 grenades.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess that would make sense if you're cycling on a D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We saw the requisition drop where Chief calls in a wasp.
Yeah.
And Brohammer drops it off almost instantaneously.
Like, where have you been?
Right. The Harbinger is an interesting new addition. Enemy,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
He's coming in and saying everything that the Forerunners have kind of said about humanity being the future is a lie. And so, yeah, that's. I wonder if that's 343 trying to kind of add a new, kind of fresh new story perspective to things. So it'll be interesting to see what that introduces. And is the Skimmers part of the same faction as the Harbinger? Mm-hmm. Are there other things associated with this Harbinger? Is Harbinger that entity's name, or is it just a title for the faction? Like, there's a lot of questions around that new, I guess, enemy or character. Lots of questions there.
How about this with this Skimmers? Is that what they call them?
Yeah, Skimmers.
Yeah. Judging from the armor they wear, it almost looks like they would be part of the Harbinger's
faction.
Yeah, faction.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. So kind of like how the Flood was a third faction in Halo CE.
Right.
Maybe this Harbinger faction or whatever this is could be a third new faction.
Mm-hmm. I want to know where this monitor comes from that they're tearing apart.
Is that what that is? Because I was trying to tell and it was.
That's what it looks like to me. I mean, it's not a Guilty Spark monitor. It's probably a sub monitor. I forget what they actually call it, but basically maintenance worker.
Okay. Cause yeah, it kind of looked like a monitor, but not quite like some kind of drone possibly. So,
well, in the, and forgive me for going to the books, but in the books, they do describe a monitor that has a more ball shaped case that's not open on the sides, like 343s.
Maybe this is it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it really looks like a monitor to me.
Yeah, it looked pretty especially close, but the eye was different. The shell was kind of different, mm-hmm. so it was hard to tell if it was actually one or not.
Yeah. It, just the way it's moving and it's floating, you know, it just appears to me to be a monitor.
Yeah. And then one skimmer shoots another skimmer with yeah. the shock rifle. That's funny. So, yeah, that's it. It could very well be part of the same faction. It's obviously too early to tell, but could definitely be interesting. Someone pointed out on Twitter, I don't know who I saw this from, but one of the, I guess there's a health bar over one of the boss battles.
Yes. Looks like your more in-game bosses are going to have a shield and health system that they show you instead of relying on like visible cues like yeah. they did with Tartarus. You could see when his shield was down, but you never really knew where his health stood.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. I've seen a few people not be too thrilled about that. It's not like a huge thing, but it's definitely one of those things that hasn't been in Halo before. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays into the greater gameplay experience, more or less.
So what do you think of the new elite Spartan killer?
He looks mean and nasty. And as Chief said, angry. No, definitely.
Kind of looks off. Fearsome. Looks like a pissed off lobster. Oh. I don't know. There's something about the helmet. Just, I don't know. It gives me some just creepy vibes.
I mean, I think that's probably what they're going for.
Well, I know it is, but I mean, it's a different vibe than I get from most elite helmets.
Mm-hmm. What's the faction of elites that basically
the Silent Shadow?
Yeah. That's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit.
Well, that would make sense with the Red Blades.
Yeah. Which that'd apparently, be crazy if they're being brought into this too.
Well, what I'm really concerned curious about is his robot leg and arm a voluntary thing, or did he lose them in battle?
I didn't even pick up on that. Wow. I didn't even pick up on that. Huh. You're right, though.
I thought it was a pretty dead giveaway. I figured it was a pretty dead giveaway when the energy cleaver pops out of his wrist.
Well, I mean, that could be an just an attachment on your arm anyways.
Could be. But yeah, he's another one that looks like, oh my god.
Uh-huh.
I hope we get to fight him and it's not in a cutscene.
From all the lessons that 343 is learning, I would think they would learn that lesson too.
Well, I did see one scripted moment in there, you know, kind of like he had in Halo 4, you know, when he was exposing the generator or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, that's just the interactive element type thing. That's not mm-hmm. necessarily a scripted battle encounter.
Right.
So I would assume that would be.
I just hope they keep those to a minimum.
Yeah. I mean, I like if you go up to something and you try to activate something, I like actually having the animation there instead of just
mm-hmm.
it magically spinning on its own type of thing. So those kind of interactive elements I'm fine with. But let's keep that out of battles.
Yeah. Now the Harbinger. Wow. I guess we know where the taser stuff is coming from. The shock damage type.
Yeah. From this other
faction. Yeah, I figured it had to be tied to something.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, maybe this new faction relies on shock type weapons mm-hmm. and that's where this kind of originates from. That makes sense. Yeah.
And again, they end it with, why do you have to jump? Oh.
Why do you always jump? And then the little tease with Eshrim at the end as well.
Mm-hmm.
The very end. That was a nice touch as well.
Escherim got an upgrade.
Oh, yes, he did.
I mean, even the hologram of him got an update.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
looks fantastic.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty.
It was definitely worth it. Just from a visual point, it's definitely worth the wait.
Yeah. I know it's not going to be co-op at the start, but being able to experience it in first person 4K glory is going to be very nice. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not, don't get me wrong, it would be nice to have 4K monitor, but I'm not doing that.
Even 1440p will be a nice upgrade.
Well, I mean, even to do that, then I have to update all my cables, and I have to update my capture card, the monitor. It's a lot of expense.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, yeah, I'm thinking about taking a screenshot of Escherim and putting him in my rotational mix.
Very nice.
I mean, even the weapon model, you know, even though they have her in a uniform, mm-hmm. it doesn't break it like it kind of did in Halo 5.
Well, it's a lot more simplified, lot more service member like instead of kind of the warrior thing that seemed like the Cortana in Halo 5 was going for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that covers most of the campaign stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's other little things that people probably dig in and try to find between now and whatever the next video
is. Oh, they already have. My YouTube feed's been filled with breakdowns of the campaign overview today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I haven't looked at any of them, but I did pick up.
I watched a few of them. Mostly I've just watched reaction videos just to see how people are reacting to it. And pretty much everybody I've seen so far has had a real positive reaction.
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great to see that people are enjoying it. People are excited about what we will get with the campaign. And kudos to 343 for not really sticking a lot of narrative stuff out there. Just kind of what is needed for kind of the tease of what
we'll definitely
see. I think they did a very, very good job with this overview.
They got our whistles wet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, damn you. Anyway.
Well, we have less than 2 months. Not too far out there.
2 months.
Less than. Basically, what, 6 weeks at this point?
45 days.
6 weeks. 6.5 weeks.
Because it comes out the 8th, right?
The 8th. Yeah. Yep. So, we also had, between our last podcast and this podcast, a video on the PC development of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about some of the PC-specific stuff that they've been working on, things like ray tracing, triple keybinds, ultra-widescreen monitor support, being able to actually dial
bring your HUD in.
Yep, bring the HUD in. It's funny, one of the stories they talked about was where the cinematic team went in and actually kind of made all the cutscenes in game look all real nice. And they said, okay, now do this, widen it out. And it's probably like, oh crap, how much more detail do we have to throw in there that was kind of hidden behind the scenes type of thing?
How much more work do you want us to do?
Exactly.
I was very impressed with that video. It showed a lot of the behind the scenes when it came to the development for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And that they reiterated this a lot. It is not a port of the game. It is purpose built for the PC.
Native experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Razer's a bit of expensive line of product for PC stuff, but that integration with Razer, oh my gosh.
Yeah. If I was a keyboard and mouse player, I would probably jump on it just because of the RGB effects that will tie into the game. But yeah. I mean, I've already got a nice Logitech gaming keyboard. I really don't need another one.
Right. And this isn't just with the Halo Infinite Razer keyboard either. This works with all Razer products too.
Yes.
I did buy the mouse pad because I am going to
put I'm that thinking in. About it because, well, I need a mouse pad anyway, but yeah. I don't know.
So if I can get the effects just with the mouse pad, that'll be
kinda
nice. Although
my Microsoft keyboard is getting a little long in the tooth.
They also talked about integration with Steam and Discord. So Discord mm-hmm. will support the invite to game feature natively in there. You can invite friends through Discord, Steam, and Xbox Live. Everything's still powered behind Xbox Live services. There's crossplay between things. Matchmaking will be input-based matchmaking. We'll have ranked controller play, ranked keyboard play, and then ranked crossplay between the input types, which will be interesting, especially given that their first tournament is cross-input play. Local PC server is also a cool thing.
Uh-huh. Or, built well, in?
Yeah, built in. Similar to Halo, like the Halo 5 server. It doesn't just support the PC title. It supports PC and Xbox, but it's a PC server app that you can
right.
you can get and use, similar to the Halo 5 one. So that's nice. Mentioned the triple key binds. They talked about how closely they were working with AMD, how they're trying to get the input lag down as well. And then the other big thing that they made in this announcement was there is a actually limited edition AMD Radeon RX 6900 XT series graphics card. And they're only giving them away, and there's 117 that they're giving away.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, if I wasn't so dependent on NVIDIA's encoder, I would be going after it. Even though it's, at, you know, I have a enclosed case. It's not a, doesn't have a glass door on it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never see it, but
yeah.
I would know it's there.
Yeah. It's very tempting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only like giveaways. Said, this is not being sold.
I've thought about it. Well, yeah, it's sold. As soon as they win it, it's going up on eBay.
Well, yeah, there is that. But
matter of fact, I think there's already one there.
Oh, geez. How much are they wanting for it?
I don't know. I didn't bother to look.
Now I'm kind of curious. I think that was all pretty much the PC-specific stuff. I don't see any listings for it on eBay right now. So it probably hasn't made its way there yet. What else?
Since I'm here, let's check on Halo Infinite Series X's.
Oh, yeah.
That's buy it now for $1,024.99 with free shipping.
Crazy stuff, man. We also had the community update from between last time that we had the podcast and today. There's some new screenshots, some new promotional artwork for Halo Infinite. They also mentioned that the Halo 360 games were actually being supported for another month through till January 13th,
mm-hmm.
which is my birthday. There's some update on the Hoonigan's Warthog build, some more of the Halo products, which they have a deck of Halo playing cards, which I bought as soon as they announced those on Twitter. There's some other cool little collectible things that we've talked about. There's a new partnership with Rockstar to get some skins inside the Halo Infinite. And that's most of the new stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a small little community spotlight at the bottom of it as well.
Kind of like the Halo necklaces. Got Chief, an energy sword, Chief's helmet, and a needler.
Yeah, we did. We talked about those last time.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm just saying I kind of like those.
I mean, they actually have close-up pictures now, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pretty much wraps up what we wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, I think it pretty much covers up all the news that we've gotten this week and last week.
And last week, yeah. So we will be back next week, the week before our Halo tournament, which we formally announced now on the website. So registration for that is open for the Fiesta Frenzy tournament. We are getting close to actually being done judging the maps that were submitted for the Forge contest. We actually played them over this past weekend with the Forge Hub team and went through all the I guess, kind of semi-finalists at this point for the maps that were in there. So I think we played, what, a total of 17 maps? Or maybe more than that.
No, we played a total of 20 maps.
Was it 20?
Yeah. We played the last 7 on Saturday.
Right.
The rest of them we played for Fraggin' Fridays.
So some of y'all have probably seen some of those if you came by and watched our stream, but at least the top 3 will be presented in the tournament, will be played on. We're hoping to get at least 1 Forge map of every game mode into the rotation for the tournament as well. So hopefully we'll have the announcement of the contest winners, the Forge contest winners, out next week, and then have the tournament the following week, which is November 13th and 14th. If you want to find out more about it, go over to podtaggler.com on our website. That's where we have the announcement post, and there's a link to the team signups as well. Needless to say, GT, I am excited for the Infinite story based on what we saw today.
I'm more than excited, man.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be very beautiful to look at, and it looks like it's going to have a lot of replayability. I mean, beyond just beating it on Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Just going back and finding different ways to do the same, to do the objectives, not to mention all the collectibles you go find. Looks like there's going to be quite a few of those. Unlock equipment.
It'd be interesting, like, to kind of keep the nature of the campaign going, almost kind of like a live nature type of thing, where you can go back in, kind of like the world's kind of changing a little bit. So there's this new bandage thing that pops up in this week, or there's a couple other outposts that you can go and do.
It could be something that they have on a schedule. You know, like a weekly refresh, you get new bases pop up.
Yeah.
There's new things to go do. I don't know how much of that they would be able to do, but it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Being a live title, there's lots of things they can do with it.
There's lots of potential.
Mm-hmm.
So much potential. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back on our regularly scheduled live stream podcast the first week in November. So back on November 4th. Hope you all are as excited as we are. I know I probably don't sound as excited. I'm a bit tired, but I am excited nonetheless of the campaign. It's depending on how I feel when I get back from London. It might be the very first thing I play. We'll see what happens.
Well, I will definitely be playing it. And
TT will probably be streaming it while I'm in London.
Yep. Just so I can rub it in.
There you go. That's fine. That's fine. Maybe I'll get an early press copy next week.
It'll be the Dust Can't Play stream.
Unless we get a press copy and I can play it before I head out to London.
Yeah, but you can't play it at launch because you'll be in London.
That unless I bring my Xbox with me.
Really? You want to take your Xbox across the ocean?
We have a Xbox S, Xbox One.
No,
S
I mean like it making it there and back.
I probably wouldn't end up doing that. If anything, just go over to Jack's place and just play it over there for a couple hours and then head back to the Airbnb. Yeah, it's going to be fun though. GT will probably be streaming on the Podtacular channel throughout the first week or so. And I'm guessing you'll probably stick with campaign, and then probably when Friday rolls around, do Fraggin' Friday on Infinite would be my guess. But
I'll probably be doing campaign run throughs, during the day. I don't know exactly what the schedule's going to be as of yet. I still have to put in my vacation time and have it approved.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if it's going to be during the day or in the evenings. I might do it in the evenings anyway.
Makes sense.
Just, you know, to make it easier for people to view. But it's going to be so hard to resist not playing it.
Right. And then you're going up all against all the other streamers who are going to be streaming Halo Infinite.
One way or another, I'm going to play it. And I will probably stream it. It may not be at your regular, normal, comfortable hours for those people that are actually working. But I can be a distraction at work your network administrators allow it.
Right.
Or you have really good cell signal.
There you go. All right, everybody. Hope you're excited. We definitely are. We'll catch you all next week. Keep on fragging them trucks.